The 7-member crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery was up and working early this morning, preoccupied with working out a strategy to use later this week when and if they try to rescue a crippled satellite. We got an update this morning from Bruce Hall at the Johnson Space Center in Houston.
NASA has already approved a rendezvous and a photographic mission of the malfunctioning communication satellite. The question now is whether they're going to allow an astronaut to actually go out of the space shuttle, walk over to the spinning satellite, and try to pull the small 4-inch lever which is needed to activate it. The problem is that that could be dangerous for an astronaut, and it is more likely they're going to use remote equipment to do that.
That satellite's spinning pretty fast, right?
The satellite is spinning. And an additional problem is that the satellite is equipped with a rocket engine, which, as soon as that lever is pulled, should activate the satellite, make it spin quicker, and also there are rockets and jets on there to propel it to a higher orbit.
Can you tell us about this gizmo that's been rigged up for the end of the robot arm?
What it is a little gizmo that was already aboard the space shuttle as a way to reach some of these small switches or an out-of-the-way area where they could not stay in their seat and reach them. It is almost like a little hockey stick with a little curl at the end of it, and they hope to be able to just snatch this 4-inch lever and pull it into an open position.
Well, Senator Jake Garn, of course, is one of the crew members. Is there any indication how well he's performing and what his role is?
There's been little communication from Senator Garn. NASA has released little to no information about his medical experiments. We do not know if he has succeeded in his goal of getting sick and getting space sickness. All he told us was, things are going well and they're working on me.
It's unusual for a politician to be so quiet.
When you're in space, a lot of strange things happen, even to politicians.
Correspondent Bruce Hall reporting from Houston. After a difficult night, the world's fifth artificial heart recipient, 62-year-old Jack Burcham, is undergoing a surgical procedure this morning to insert a drainage tube in his chest. Following his six-hour implant operation yesterday, Burcham bled so heavily that doctors at Louisville's Humana Hospital had to replace more than twice the amount of blood in his body. This morning, Dr. Alan Lansing, hospital spokesman, briefed reporters on Burcham's condition.
I would say overall his condition is satisfactory. He did continue to bleed most of the evening in small, steady amounts. Later in the evening, he was started on some of the anticoagulant therapy, and that aggravated the bleeding temporarily, so it was stopped. And during the night, he required transfusions to replace this loss.
Dr. Lansing said this morning's procedure will remove accumulated blood and reduce pressure on Burcham's lungs. Congress gets back to work this week after its Easter break, with just a week to go for critics to organize opposition to the budget compromise worked out between the White House and Senate Republican leaders, a plan calling for deep cuts in domestic spending. Neil Strauser has the outlook.
The opposition is focusing quickly on the proposal to hold Social Security cost of living increases to about 2% a year over the next 3 years, with the House committee today calling witnesses who will claim hundreds of thousands of the elderly will be driven below the poverty line. The assault actually began yesterday with House Majority Leader Jim Wright's appearance on the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation.
There are a lot of better ways to balance the budget than to balance it on the backs of the most vulnerable.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Budget Director David Stockman conceded the cutback could be interpreted as tampering with the system, breaking the president's promise, but won't hurt that much.
Almost all of the Social Security recipients are well above the poverty line. They have come up with some studies showing statistical increases in poverty, but really that's a matter of $5 or $10 a month above or below the line, not fundamentally changing people's living circumstances.
And Stockman said the budget package has to be kept intact.
The alternative is a whopping big tax increase on everybody.
Wright said the alternative is a 15% minimum corporate tax. Neil Strauser, CBS News, Washington.
On top of the battle of the budget, President Reagan has a major foreign policy fight looming over his approach to Central America. White House correspondent Gary Schuster has that story.
Fresh from a 10-day vacation at his California ranch, President Reagan today begins work on winning congressional approval for his Nicaraguan peace plan. The president meets with Costa Rican President Luis Alberto Monge this morning, in addition to former U.N. Ambassador Gene Kirkpatrick and former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski. The president is enlisting their support for his proposal to give the Contra rebels $14 million. Mr. Reagan makes a speech to a Nicaraguan refugee fund dinner tonight. White House spokesman Larry Speake said the president is devoting all his efforts to the Nicaraguan issue this week because there is only lukewarm support for the plan on Capitol Hill. Gary Schuster, CBS News, the White House.
Later this morning, Kathleen Crowell Webb reportedly will release results of a lie detector test, which a lawyer indicates supports her contention that she was not raped by Gary Dotson. Dotson is now back in an Illinois prison, despite Mrs. Webb's claim that he is innocent. Dotson's relatives and friends, meanwhile, are signing petitions urging that he be pardoned.
I hope he really does get out. Why should he pay for something he didn't do?
I think the man is innocent. I don't know.
Why would a woman put herself through all of this ordeal?
That's what you're saying, yeah.
If she didn't mean what she said.
Mrs. Webb has a news conference today in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. In Seattle, the federal government is expected to bring charges today against leaders of what they say is a white supremacist neo-Nazi underground group. Richard Wagner reports.
The United States attorney is expected to release a sweeping federal racketeering indictment here today against more than 20 members of the neo-Nazi organization known variously as the Order, the White American Bastion, and the Silent Brotherhood. The indictment will show a pattern of criminal activity, including armored car robbery and murder. The white supremacist organization has been accused of plotting the violent overthrow of the government of the United States. Allegedly, the money stolen in the armored car robberies was to be used to finance the neo-Nazi group's activities. This organization has been described by FBI Director William Webster as more dangerous than the Ku Klux Klan. The Order's leader, Robert Matthews, died during a shootout with law enforcement agents near Seattle last December, and most of the group's membership is in police custody. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Seattle.
In a move to combat international criticism of its apartheid laws, the government of South Africa today opened the way for legalized sex and marriage between whites and non-whites. Bill Prince reports from Cape Town.
The South African government has accepted the findings of an all-party committee that the controversial Prohibition of Mixed Marriages Act and the Immorality Act be repealed immediately. The report was accepted by all parties except the ultra-right-wing Conservative Party. Acceptance of the recommendations by the government was announced by the Minister of Home Affairs, F.W. de Klerk. Political observers say that this is an important step forward in the government's reform program and that the repeal of these laws will inevitably affect other apartheid laws which will now come under close scrutiny. It is believed that legislation for the dismantling of the laws could be approved before the end of June. Bill Prince for CBS News, Cape Town.
The dollar lost strength today against major European currencies and is now generally 20% lower in value than at its height in February. Gold was fixed in London at $330.30. It's 10 past the hour.